الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Infinite praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and salutations be upon the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we had a very, very deep reflection on the responsibilities and the role of a father, and we discussed that our children are in dire need for our presence and our time, more than our money and more than anything else that we have. What they need the most is our time. We discussed that in quite a lot of detail. And the second thing we discussed was that you as well, the fathers, they also need their children very much. Because if you do not have children, then you become a very, very upset, very, very harsh, very, very staunch person and individual. Whereas when children come into your life, you learn to smile again, you learn to be happy again, you learn to enjoy your life a little bit more. And the third thing that we realized was that every single one of us, especially the father and the parents, are responsible for their upbringing, the nurturing and the development of their child. So for the last 2 days, alhamdulillah, we've discussed in quite a lot of detail the importance of the father's presence in the development, in the early stages of a child, during the teenage years, early years, and also the different aspects of the father's responsibility and how he needs to be there for his child constantly. And these are our investments. You can invest as much as you can in the dunya, but the money will go away. But if you've chased the money all your life, and you give that money away, and you've discarded or ignored your children, then when money will no longer be there for you in your life, your children will also no longer be there in your life, because you never spent time with them. So invest in your children, who will stay with you even when money and commodities will not stay with you. So this is a very important thing that we need to really get our heads around. So alhamdulillah, we continue with one more lecture in relation to the father's responsibility. But here today specifically we're talking about the role. What type of role can a father play in the development, in the nurturing of the child? And this is something which we all need to discuss, inshallah al-aziz. But so far, as I do daily, I'd like to remind you that this is the month of the Qur'an, this is the month of the blessed Qur'an, and also the month of family, where you need to be praying together, worshipping together, reading the Qur'an together, doing your dhikr azkar together, doing dua together, and doing your iftari together as well. It's not enough for you to say, Allah manu bachale, Allah protect me, Allah forgive me. You have a responsibility to protect your children and to make sure that your children are safe from all of the calamities and problems and challenges in the dunya, but also that they're safe from the fire of hell in the hereafter. What's the point of you saving them from the rain, from the cold, from temperature, from hunger and starvation, if you don't save them from the fire of hell, which is the most important protection that your children need? So in this month of Ramadan, in these blessed days and blessed nights of Ramadan, make sure that you pray together as a family, you remain together as a family, so all of you are saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of hell. So today, inshallah, we'll discuss the role of the father. And there's many different roles a father can take, but today, inshallah, we'll discuss just three main roles, which are very, very important, and they're fundamental roles. And if we can just fill these roles, then inshallah, we'll actually complete our duty somewhat towards our children. So the first role is that the father needs to be as a role model for his children. The biggest person who can bring about a change, influence in the life of your child is you. So you need to be the best role model for your child. So that is something that we will discuss. The second thing that we will discuss, inshallah, how the father needs to be a person who reviews his children. So you're checking, you're analyzing, you're reviewing the life of your child and their decisions and their actions. Reviewing your children is also another integral part of the father's responsibility. And the third thing the father can do as a role is to become a friend. And if you remember from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that you love your children when they're young, complete devotional love to them when they are young, and then you discipline them and you also befriend them as well. So these are the different roles that we will, inshallah al-aziz, discuss. But today, how to be a good role model as a father, how to be a reviewer of your children's actions, and also how to be a good friend. But all of these, what they require is time. They require your presence. To be a good role model, you need to be there. And you can't just be a role model just one day and then forget them for the next year or so. You need to be a role model who's constantly there. So with time requires a lot of effort from the father and also a lot of concentration from the father as well. If you want to fulfill your role and complete your responsibility towards your children, that responsibility which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon you. So at the beginning, a father can be somebody who is very, very terrifying. Hamisha, you know, you're scared the living daylights out of your children. And your mother says that as well. Terja, pyo atsina, and then tanu siddha karsi. You let your father come home and then he'll sort you out. So you can be a terrifying father. And this is a role that you can play like bad cop. You can play the villain in your home. But this is not the role that the Prophet ﷺ ever played in his life, and neither did he teach this role either. Yes, there was that of discipline, but not in a terrifying way where the children are afraid of you and they don't listen to you and they're constantly terrified. No. So you can be a terrifying father, but this is not the right role. And similarly, you can be the father who's constantly, negative towards his children as well. In anything that they do, constantly putting them down and saying, "Tanu ki pata," or you've done this wrong, you've done that wrong. So constantly pointing the finger and pushing them down. And this is very, very detrimental to their spiritual and their mental development as well. You need to be a father who raises your children, who raises their hopes, who raises their aspirations, who supports them, who raises them not just on their shoulders and you walk around with your children on your shoulders or on your hip. You need to physically raise them, intellectually raise them, and spiritually raise them as well. You need to be a father who's constantly advising your children. But like I said, all of these, whether you're raising your child in the right way, advising them in the right way, you need to spend quality time with them. You need to exert effort. You need to be concentrating and actually care about their activities and what they are doing. So don't just be the father who terrifies his children, who scares his children, who manipulates his children, who is constantly negative towards his children, controlling their actions. You need to be kind towards them. Affectionate towards them. Not through cruelty can you win their hearts and their mind. Only through love and affection can you win their hearts and minds. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam never won over the hearts of the Quraysh or the people in Makkah or anywhere else through cruelty, through threats or through anything else like that. No, he always won them over with his kind words, with his tenderness, with his love, and with his affection. And this is a crucial role that fathers are missing in their development of their children. This is something that you need to really look upon. So it's very important for the fathers to devote their time towards their children. And this doesn't mean just, 1 hour or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but actually spend time with them so that you can attach yourself to them and they can attach themselves to you as well. So rather than you spending time to avoid all of the natural disasters of the dunya, let's prevent this, you just spend time with them so that they can avoid the disasters of the hereafter and avoid potential disasters in the future as well. The mother's relationship with a child is very natural. It's a very innate relationship because that relationship develops as soon as the child is in the womb of the mother. The child hears and feels the heartbeat of the mother. It feels the emotions, the constraints, the ups and downs and the hormones, everything the child feels, and it develops this natural God-given relationship between itself and the mother. And this is not something a father can ever replicate because this is something which is specific, something which is khas and something which is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between the mother and the child. They will always have this bond. But it is not the same for the father. It is not the same for the father. The father has to develop his relationship with his son and with his daughter. But if you just, avoid that relationship and avoid that connection with your child, then your child will not be the same way that he is with you as he is with his mother. The way that the child is, his affection, his love, his mahabbah, his yearning for his mother is something which is natural. If you want your child to have the same love and connection and bond with you, you need to develop that. Just like when you make a friend, they need to gain your trust. They need to show themselves that they are worthy of your time, they are worthy of your confidence and your trust, and then slowly with time you give them and you share with them certain things. It's the same way exactly for a child and their father. If the father wants the son or the daughter to trust him, and they want the son or the daughter to spend time with them or to listen to them and to their advice or to follow them, then you need to develop this relationship. The mother has it a bit more easier than the father, but the father needs to develop this relationship. And how can he do that? How can he build this connection? He can do that by playing with the child from a very, very young age. So the child is not afraid of the father. But if the father is never spending time, never being tender, never being affectionate, never playing with the child, then the child will always have this distance, this gap between itself and the father. So playing with the child from a very, very young age, expressing your love and expressing your affection towards the child is very, very important. And we see this in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that he would always express his love and play with the children. Even when he would be walking in the markets and he would see some children playing, he would go and play with them. Even though he probably had to go meet somebody or greet somebody or do something else, but if he saw a group of children playing, he would go and he would play with them, because it builds a connection and a bond with that child, and they no longer fear you and they think, oh, here's a giant. He's coming, he's frowning, he's screaming, he's got, you know, he's angry, all of these things. No, they won't have any of these things. Why? Because you are doing what they are doing. You are smiling, you are running, you are chasing, you are showing all of these emotions that they are showing as well. And automatically, you will build a bond and a connection with them. So this is a very, very important thing. But if you don't exert this extra effort to be playful, to be kind, to be affectionate and loving towards them, then your child and your children won't actually do the same thing for you. If you don't give an effort towards your children won't exert any effort towards you either. So jitna karoge utna hi wapas milega. So the more you give, the more you will receive. The less you give, the less you will receive back from your children. So this is a very, very important thing as well. Sometimes a father can be home subuh leke sham, so from the morning all the way to the afternoon through the evening, but they don't actually concentrate on their children and what the children are doing. And this is useless, because you're wasting crucial time. You're wasting time which will never come back again. Whereas other fathers who may not be home, and they may be out all day working, or they may have different hours of work, or they may be traveling a lot, but when they come home, they actually concentrate and spend quality time with their children, and they are concerned and they realize the habits, the changes and their behaviors in their children, and they concentrate and they spend good quality time with their children. That father is much better than the father who spends all day and all night with his child, but he has absolutely no concentration, no focus and no effort whatsoever, no diljaspi whatsoever in the development, in the bond and the connection of the child. So you need to be that father who is playful, who is tender, who is kind, but who also concentrates and exerts a huge amount of effort towards the development of their children, and not just once in a while, or not just you're constantly there, but you don't actually care what they are doing. So spending time at night, reading them a story, telling them a story, putting them to bed. This is spending good time with your children, eating with them, dining with them, going out with them to the park, having experiences with them. These build connections, these build emotions, and these build bonds that bring you closer together to your child, and it removes that fear from the mind of the child. So these are very important things that we really need to think about, and not just say, yeah, whatever I say, my son will do, because, you know, I'm his father. No, you have to earn that trust, you have to earn that confidence, you have to earn and develop that relationship as well. So, coming to the first thing that I mentioned today, which is the father being a role model, which is very, very important. So, I'll give you a very, very simple prescription. If you follow this prescription, just like a doctor says, take this medicine, eat it, follow the dosage, and then you will heal and you will become better. Similarly, I'll give you a simple advice, simple prescription. If you follow this, then you will also become successful as a father as well. So what is that prescription? Which is, keep silent. And this is very difficult for a father to do. It's very easy for you to shout, to scream, to point your finger, to raise your hand, do all of these things. But it's very difficult for you to actually remain silent and remain patient with your children. So keep silent. This is a crucial thing that I want you to remember. If you keep silent and you be a good role model, this combination of being silent and being a role model through your actions will have a greater impact on your child than you actually telling them off and saying, don't do this or don't do this and don't do that. If you just be silent and do the good things, so you're doing, you know, sila rahmi, you're maintaining ties of kingship, you're praying together, you're doing your Quran Pak recitation together, you're doing all of the good things that you should be doing as a Muslim, as an individual, without actually saying, oi, get up, you better do this, warna dande pesan, you better do this, or that's it, you're going to be in the naughty corner, or X, Y, and Z. If you actually just be a good role model within your home, then you will see that your children will learn from you. And this is the nature of a child. When they are born, clean slate. There is nothing in their brain, and whatever they learn from you. But in order for them to learn from the father needs to be home. Remember that we've discussed this in the last two lectures. The father needs to be home in order for them to learn what is manlihood, learn what is to be like a man, and what, you know, all of these disciplines and etiquettes and values and manners. So you need to be home. But when you are home, don't just constantly shout and point the finger and scream and be angry all the time. Just become and do be a good Muslim within your home, and they will see everything that you do and they will automatically copy it. This is the way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them. The way that you sit, the way that you behave, the way that you eat, the way that you do things, your children will automatically do that. But when you are shouting in your home, you're shouting towards your wife, your children will also do that as well. And when they grow up, they will also have no respect for women. They will not have respect for their sisters or their daughters, anything like that, because they saw their father doing this from a very, very young age. So all they will do is replicate that and imitate the behavior of their father. So keep silent within your home. I'm not saying completely remain zipped up and kisina galina karo, but no, just through your actions, actually teach your children. You know, that if the food is not cooked on time, you don't have to scream and shout. You just be patient, and then you help out with your wife, and then you make the food together. You clean together. You know, you do the vacuum together. You wash the clothes together. You put out the clothes. You prepare the food. You do all of these things together. And all of these things your child is constantly observing and seeing. And your child will learn that without actually you saying, oi, do this. Because the reaction of a child when you tell them to do something, even when the child is 15 or 20, it will be no. Why should I do this? Especially when they're mature, automatically they say no. And when they're younger, they want to do what they want to do. But if they're constantly seeing you do these things, then they will do these things themselves. So this is a very important thing. Don't just think by preaching, you will be teaching your child how to be a good individual or a good Muslim. No, allow them to see your actions, and from inside and out. So through your patience and through your actions, they will actually see that this is what a good human being is like. Preaching constantly is not fruitful. They will just start to ignore it. And as they say, it will go in one ear and go out of the ear, because pyo hamesha dantar and the pyo hamesha, you know, telling me off all the time. So let's just leave it. Because the son and the daughter knows the father is shouting, but he himself is not patient. The father is screaming, or the father is eating his food very, very quickly, or the father he never says Bismillah before the food. The father is not reading his namaz himself. The father is not reading the Quran himself, but he's telling me to do it. Why should I do it? This is what's going on in the mind of a child, that he's not doing it himself, but he's telling me to do it. Yes, you want good for your child and you will encourage them to do good things, but the best way for you to encourage them and to teach them is you do it yourself. Open the Quran, sit down, switch the TV off, read the Quran yourself, and slowly, slowly your child will form that. They'll just be that desire to read the Quran with you, share the recitation of the Quran with your family, the translation of the Quran with your family, pray together, do wudu together. When you do all of these things as a family, and when you do these things as a role model, your child will automatically learn from you, but not by preaching. There's a time for preaching, obviously, when a child understands good and bad, right and wrong, there's a time for that. But when the child is young, they learn from your actions, they learn by imitating you, and this is a very, very important thing. So take care and always be aware that your children are actively and silently always observing you, what you're doing, how you're sitting, how you're standing, what you're saying on the phone. Your wife picks up the phone, oh, tell him I'm not home, tell her I'm not home. Your child is learning how to lie from you. And then you say, who taught you how to lie? Who taught you how to do this, how to do that? Well, you've been teaching your child. even though you will not admit it. You know, when somebody knocks on the door, all of these things, your child is learning all of these things from you. So if you humiliate your wife in front of your son will do that to his wife, your son will do that to your daughter and even to his own mother. If your son sees you smoking, even though you can tell him, don't smoke, your son will still smoke because my father does it, so will I. They will taste it, they will try it, and perhaps they will go on to drugs. Who is responsible for that? You are, because you were teaching your child this. There's two ways of teaching. You can do it actively or passively. Actively through your words or passively through your actions. And passively through your actions, you are teaching your child it's okay to smoke. If daddy can do it, so can the son do it. If mother can do it, so can the daughter do it as well. Similarly, if you are selfish, if you are quick to get angry, all of these things, your child will acquire these characteristics. And there will be nobody to blame apart from you. So those crucial years when your child is with you, you need to be patient and you need to be silent. You need to be very, very careful in your actions because your children will be observing all of these things. But at the same time, that is the negative part, at the same time, all of the good things that you do, your children are also equally observing those things. So when your child sees you smiling, when your child sees you hugging your wife or your daughter or kissing them, they will naturally replicate this as well. When you smile, they smile. When you are happy, they will be happy. When you are patient, they will be patient. All of these things that you are doing, how to be righteous, how to be polite, how to be considerate, how to be patient, your child is seeing all of these things and they are observing and taking all of these things in as well, and they will naturally do these things as well. If you want to teach your child how to be kind, take him to an orphanage. Take him to an orphanage and show him all of the children there and spend time with those children even though they are not yours. If you want your child to be compassionate towards other people, help people across the road, help people with their shopping, help people. You have to show your child through your actions and then your child will learn all of these things. If you want to teach him to pray, don't just shout at him or preach to him. Stand up yourself and pray your Fajr. And your child will automatically observe all of these things. When he sees you praying, when he sees you reciting the Quran, doing dua together, they will naturally do this. I can vouch for this. My daughter, she's barely 2 years. She's only 20 months. When she sees me stand up and say Allahu Akbar, or my wife, she comes, because we pray at home and in the masjid, she comes and stands next to me and she does the takbir and she folds her hands. She goes into ruku, she goes into sajda. When she sees me raising my hands, she does like this as well. She doesn't understand that, but she's doing what I am doing. And when she gives food to us in the month of Ramadan, this is the first month of Ramadan she has, because last Ramadan she didn't have that much understanding, she was barely crawling. But in this Ramadan, from the beginning up until now, every time she brings food to me or my wife, we say, Asi roza rakhiya. We're fasting. We say that to her, then she removes the food and she walks away. Otherwise, throughout the year, every time she gives us food, we take food. So she's learning these things through our actions. And similarly, your children are learning everything through your actions and your inactions as well. So yes, there is so much that you can do. You can mold your children. You can teach them so much from a young age. If they see you praying, they will learn how to pray as well. If they see you come to the masjid, if they see you hugging people, doing all of these things, they will naturally do this, because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them to copy. And they will copy-paste who you are. So if you are a good person, your children will also, inshallah, become good people as well. But if you yourself are impatient or violent or stubborn or revengeful or any of these things, then they will naturally brush off onto your children. Your children will become a carbon copy of who you are. So that is why, you know, the scholars, they mention that before you get married, and whilst you are married, it's very important to discipline and control yourself. Because when you have children, there will only be a carbon copy of who you are. We see the great Sahaba Ikram, they became great because they were a carbon copy of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Their mercy, their compassion, their forgiveness, their taqwa, their iman was a carbon copy of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam as well. So your son is born with a blank sheet, and so is your daughter. So whatever they become, especially in the first 5 to 10 years, is because of you. Don't just say they've learned this in the nursery, they've learned this in the school, they've learned this outside from the community. No. Those crucial years, the first 5 to 10 years, they've learned everything from you. And you can mold and you can change their character and their behavior through your actions. But if you are failing, then your children will also fail as well, and you will have nobody else responsible but for yourself. And when you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be responsible, you will be accountable. Similarly, something as simple as keeping a promise. When your children are growing up and you say, "Putar, do this, I promise I'll take you here," or "I promise I'll buy this for you, I'll do this for you or that for you," but you don't actually end up doing that. You are teaching them how to be deceitful, how to lie and how to break promises. And this is what your child is learning from you. You might think, "Oh, but yeah, it doesn't matter, he'll forget." No, they don't forget. They remember everything. And we learn from the Prophet ﷺ, Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, he was a Sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ, and during the migration when they left Mecca and they came to Medina, the people of Quraysh, they would not allow Huzaifa bin Yaman to leave Mecca. And they said, "No, we will not allow you to leave Mecca, because when you go to Medina, then you will perhaps fight against us. You will perhaps fight against us." So he assured them and he said, "No, you know, I make a pledge and I make a promise to you. If you let me go from Mecca and allow me to go to Medina, I will not fight against you." This is the promise that he made. So when he went to Madinatul Munawwara and the first battle, the Battle of Badr, took place, the Sahaba Ikram were barely in the 300 plus, just about, facing 1,000. And so the Prophet ﷺ needed every single individual able and capable man to fight and defend Islam and defend the Muslims. So what did he see? The Prophet ﷺ saw Huzaifa ibn Yaman coming, rushing towards the Prophet ﷺ, that, "Yes, here I am, and I will, you know, be with the Muslim army, and I will defend Medina or defend Islam." And the Prophet ﷺ prohibited him. He forbade him and he said, "No, you cannot." Why? Because you made a promise to them that you will not fight against them, and you cannot break your promise. So imagine, you know, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he's teaching this, a grown-up man. Why is he teaching the grown-up man that when you have children, when you have siblings, when you have brothers and sisters, whoever you have, you need to make sure that you fulfill your promises. You can't just make a promise and then break that promise. Similarly, our fathers, our mothers, we make promises all the time to our children, "Do this and I'll buy you this, do this and we'll do that." But then we end up breaking our promises. You're teaching them lie to deceive. And this is not a good trait to teach your child, a good characteristic for your children to have. So we learn from the Prophet ﷺ, and even in a similar incident, that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when he was giving a khutbah, giving a dars in the masjid, and Abdullah ibn Amr, his mother called out for him. He was very, very young lad at that time. So his mother called out for him. She said, "Oh, Abdullah, come here." And the Prophet ﷺ stopped and listen to his mother, because she said, "Come here, I will give you something." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped his bayan, he stopped his lecture that he was giving to the Sahaba ikram, and he turned towards the mother and he asked her, "Are you truthful in what you are saying?" And she said, "Of course I am, because within my hand are some dates. So if he came to me, I was going to give him the dates." And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam took that opportunity to teach all of the Sahaba ikram that if there was nothing in her hand, then she would be a liar. And she would be punished for that, because one, she is lying, and also she is teaching her son to lie as well. Because in the future, this is what he would do. He would deceive, he would lie, and he would break his promises. So this is a very important thing. That don't think that just because he's a child, he is unattentive, he does not understand what a promise is, what a lie is. They understand everything and they will replicate everything. So whether your sons, your daughters are young, whether they are old, you are teaching them constantly through your actions. You know, if you are lying when you are 40 and 50, you are teaching your children to lie when they are 40 and 50 as well. It's okay to lie to older people, because we used to lie to you when you were young. We are lying to you now, so it's okay. You can lie to other people as well. So this is a very important thing that we need to understand, that you are the role model for your children. From the young age, as soon as they are born, they are learning everything from you. Their adab, their manners, their characteristics, their good akhlaq from you. And if you fail, then your children will also fail as well. In the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, when he was the Khalifa and the treasurers of Khusro and Caesar Persia were taken by the Muslims, all of the rubies, all of the diamonds, all of the gold, every single treasure was brought back to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. Not one ruby, not one pearl, nothing was taken away from that treasure. And Sayyidina Umar at that time, when he saw all of the treasures which was presented to him in the masjid, he said, look at how honest all of these Muslims are. And at that time, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he replied and he said a very, very beautiful thing. He said, they are honest because Umar himself is honest. If the leaders are corrupt, then obviously the awam are going to be corrupt as well. Obey money kardin, they do this, the leaders do this, so then we'll do it as well. And you see this in nations, you see this in Pakistan, you see these in developing countries where the leaders themselves are corrupt, and you know how corrupt they are, and it's a natural consequence for the nation to also be corrupt as well. Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Ali at that time said, the reason why they are honest and they have not taken not a single ruby or a gold or anything like that is because the leader himself is honest. And he learned that honesty from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Just the way your children will learn honesty from you, they will learn integrity from you, they will learn truthworthiness from you, they will learn all of these traits from their father. But the father needs to be home, he needs to be concentrating on his children, he needs to be spending quality time with his children, and he needs to be an active role model for his children, actively and passively, through his actions, through his deeds, and also through his speech once in a while as well. But if you fail, you cannot blame society, and this is something that we do all the time. Muashara bada kharab hai, university jaake puttar kharab ho gaya, beti jaake kharab hogi, A level kar di, BC to A ho gaya, to O ho gaya. Constantly we give these excuses. It's because of society, it's because of peer pressure, it's because of advertisement, it's because of the media, it's because of this, because of that. Sade zaman ch A ni honda si. We make all of these excuses. No. The first reason and the first failing is in you as a father, is in you as a mother, because you failed them as good role models. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala never failed all of those people that were around him. He never failed any of the children that were around him. So why is it that we are failing our own children? The most precious things in our lives, more precious than the car, the property and the wealth and everything else that we have. These are the most precious treasures from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we not protect them? How can we not treasure them? How can we not make sure that we take care of them to the best of our abilities? So, coming back to the first thing that I mentioned today, is our responsibility as role models towards our children. So inshallah al-Aziz, tomorrow we'll continue with the father as the reviewer of the actions of his children, and also the father as a friend towards his children as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand the importance, the responsibility of the father through every single stage, spiritual, physical, biological change of their children, and make sure that we fulfill our roles and duties and responsibilities towards our children, our family members. وقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم جزاكم الله خيرا. Please do join me tomorrow inshallah again, and we'll go to the reviewing process of the father and also the friendship of the father, and then we'll go on to the duties of the mother and various other aspects of the family interactions as well. جزاكم الله خيرا.